This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's March 11th, 2020. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch.
Hi.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, you can call us right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can send an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Okay, time to start the show. It's Ron's Rant of the Week, COVID-19. I'm going to go there. We talked about it all last week. We talked all about the things that are going on and what's happening in the bicycle industry and the racing and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, another one went down while you slept over the last week. The 2020 Sea Otter Classic is now postponed until October. They were on last Wednesday. They are off now. So anyway, that one is gone. Here's another one that's gone. And I've been announcing this since the beginning of the year. The League of American Bicyclists, they have their National Bike Summit down in Washington, D.C. Nope, it's gone. It's canceled. It's being scheduled for, had been scheduled for March 15th through the 17th. Nope, gone. A big event in Bentonville, Arkansas, which is a three-day event, and it is the Bentonville Bike Fest, has been moved from May to August because of health concerns and travel restrictions created by the COVID-19 virus. The lockdown in Italy is now extended to the entire country, sparking fresh concerns for the Giro d'Italia. This is going to hurt. That one's going to hurt. So right now, we're okay, but there's one Italian website which is reporting that even recreational cycling is now forbidden. Give me a break. I can't. I just don't know what to say.
Recreational cycling is forbidden in Italy?
This is according to one Italian website. We don't know if it's true or not. Oh. We don't know if it's real news or fake news or who knows. But anyway, there it is. And of course, so there's all this stuff. The Italian government issued a decree on Wednesday that all sporting events in the country must take place without spectators until April 3rd. How about that? So anyway, you know what? I'm coronavirus. I've had enough. I'm done. I've just had enough. On a positive side.
Just wash your hands, please.
I do. I wash my hands. I wash my hands a lot. I'm being careful. I also get outside as much as I possibly can. On a positive side, CABDA, the Chicago Area Bicycle Dealers Association, they have an East Coast show in New Jersey, and they're still on. It's still being held. So, hey, CABDA East started today. So there it is. CABDA East is still on. There's like 11 distributors or vendors that have pulled out of it. But CABDA East, the show must go on. Good for them. Big, big high elbow, not five, to them for continuing with their plans. So that's really good. The show director, Jim Kirsten, said, next week, so this was old news here, East Coast Raid Show in New Jersey is going ahead as planned, even after at least 11 exhibitors told them they were going to pull out. The show originally had 156 registered exhibitors. Okay, another on a positive side, I have to throw this in here. Congratulations to the UConn women, for the UConn women's basketball team, for winning the AAC the seventh year in a row, and they will exit the AAC undefeated in that conference. So and they will move on to another conference, the Big East, next year. Also, congratulations to the UConn men, who are now going into their conference, for having like just some outstanding basketball in the last few efforts. They're playing at a really high level. It's really fun to watch. And, you know, you're right here on campus. We see you guys out here all the time. I just wanted to give you a shout out because really enjoying it. Really, really enjoying it. Hopefully we'll have an NCAA tournament anyway, or whatever. Anyway, maintenance minute. I've got nothing. I got nothing this week. Maintain your health. Get out and ride your bike. That's my maintenance minute.
Why don't you have Jed give us a maintenance minute?
We could go there, but I'm going to introduce Jed first, okay? Okay, so here it is. We have a special guest now that the cat is out of the bag. He's a motivator, an organizer, a problem solver from West Hartford, Connecticut. He's currently the executive director at CCAP, Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program, and friend of the show, Bicycle Talk, Jed Kornbluh. Welcome, Jed.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Fran.
How's that for an intro? That's okay.
That was perfect.
I just stole it off of LinkedIn.
I noticed, yeah.
But it was good.
Oh, I motivated you, didn't I?
I looked at that one. That's nice. I like that. Motivator. I might have to add that into my description. I might steal that.
Oh, yeah. Be a doer.
Or borrow it, if that's okay.
Oh, you can borrow it. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think I probably borrowed it from someone else.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's good. I like it. It's good words. Good words, for
Thanks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, last time I saw you was at the bike swap.
The bike swap.
Yeah, the bike swap.
How did that go for you?
That went really well for me. I like that. It was great. Of course, you know, I was just unloading things, so everything went very. I did really well. I had a dollar limit, which I can't mention on the air because we're not doing that.
No, it's right here on the sheet. No
right there on the sheet in front of you, right? But everything in my area was the same price.
That's great. So
it just moved. So it was good.
So we'll bring the bike swap back next year.
Please do.
We need, obviously, we need to find a bigger location because that spot was, we were maxed out.
We were bulging at the seams there. Yeah. It was amazing. I was impressed.
Of all the vendors, though, you walked out with the least amount of product. So I feel like you got your shelves
empty. Well, I know what I was doing. I've been at these things before. And, you know, it's like if you don't have an unreasonably low price on something, then you're going to walk back out with all the stuff you came in with.
Sure.
I even had one of the other vendors come over and buy a bunch of stuff from me.
Was it my father?
The guy from New Jersey with the tandem. Is that your dad?
That's my dad, yeah.
Oh, that's your dad? No kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he came over and said, everything is what? And I told him, and he said, yeah, I'll take this.
Did you then see it on his table? That's usually what he does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's going to do. He's just going to resell it.
Yeah.
So that's fine. That's fine.
He's my dad's a real huckster.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. That's your dad?
That's my dad.
Kidding.
Yeah. So my
I grew
up in a bike shop.
Tandems East.
Tandems East.
You grew up with Tandems East.
Yeah, my father started building wheels for friends in the early 80s, I guess, and wanted to get into the New York Cycle Show one year, so I had some business cards made that said Mel's Cycles. And from there, he got into tandeming. You know, the story goes way back to, I think, 1973. My parents went to Europe in search of a tandem. They were there for 2 months, and they came home with a Jack Taylor that was...
Really? No kidding.
Still have it.
Nice tandem.
Great tandem, yeah.
Yeah.
All hand-painted box pinstriping and black and white.
Probably old Nervex lugs on that.
Probably, yeah.
But
it was big. And my dad and I are the same size, and I ride a 55-centimeter road bike, and this was like a 57. So even from the start, the bike was too big. But it sparked my parents' love for tandem cycling, and they eventually opened Tandems East in 1987, selling Santana and a few other brands.
Nice.
And my job after school when I was in middle school, don't tell the Department of Labor this, but I was building bikes in the basement. I think it was earning $5 a bike for pulling them out of the box and prepping burlies and that sort of thing. Yeah,
yeah, that's classic. Yeah. That's classic. Well, you know, I worked at my dad's gas station since I was 12. When I was 12 years old, I started working at the gas station because, you know, it's like he was busy. He'd pick up the phone. He'd say, pedal your you-know-what over here right now. I need help. And I would go over there and I'd work at the gas station. I never got paid a penny.
But you built a lot of character.
I built a lot of character, and I had free gas and a free car.
But what did it cost to fill the tank back then?
Oh, we were pumping gas back then. Oh, my God. It was like 30 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, 30 cents a gallon for high test, because my dad wouldn't put anything but high test in his cars.
Wow.
Yeah.
If only.
So, yeah,
I
know.
If oil keeps cratering, maybe we'll get there, but I doubt it.
Well, I think the Russians are trying to have a war with Saudi Arabia right now, so it could happen.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because there's other things going on in the world right now, too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy things.
crazy things, and that virus isn't helping.
No, the virus, it's a distraction.
Yeah.
I think it's a distraction for what's really going on in the world, but I won't get into that. That gets all conspiracy theory, and you don't want me to go down
that road.
That's
the 1 o'clock show, right?
Yeah, you don't want me to go down that road right now.
Yeah.
That requires a long bike ride.
I'm taking you up on that offer.
Good, good. I expect you to. Good. We talked about that before you walked in here. So, anyway, I'll take you out for an Amber Pierce moment.
That'd be great. We should see if Amber's free and bring her along.
We should.
Yeah.
We should. Is she still around the area, Fran? Do you know about that?
I had an Amber sighting.
You had an Amber sighting?
I did.
Oh,
yes,
cool.
A couple of weeks ago, I was walking into Big Y, and a very enthusiastic person said, "Hi, Fran!" and was pushing a grocery cart with full of groceries headed for her car, and it was her.
Oh, nice.
So I had a nice chat with her, and she had, in fact, just taught a workshop that I couldn't go to because they put it on a Thursday night.
Okay.
And anyway, so she's out and about, and she's working for Trainer Road.
Right.
So she's helping with
the indoor cycling.
I know.
App.
She's she's helping put together the workouts for Trainer Road.
Right.
And so she's able to do that remotely, and also because her family's in Reno, so she's able to go back and forth. So she's doing that.
Cool.
And so she's round.
I'll have to chase her down.
Well,
that would be that.
She's
be fun.
Also the newest board member for the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program.
Is she?
There you go.
Really?
She is, yeah.
How about that?
And she's been huge.
That's a good find.
She's been a huge asset for us just in the last couple of months. She's linked us up with someone here at UConn to help us sort of take a look at our social media and try to figure out what we're doing right.
Kidding.
Maybe what we can improve upon. Amber's a great resource. I'm so happy to have her with us.
She's the best.
Yeah.
She's the best. I she's been on our show now, I think three times she's been on the show. And it's just like when you're here, we just start having a conversation and off we go,
it
and it's
rolls.
Great, which is great. It just rolls, which is perfect. That's exactly what you want. So she's also a friend of the show, which is cool. But I haven't talked to her in a long time, so I have reached out to some others too that I would like to bring in. I made a big reach out to Jeremy Powers. If you're listening, Jeremy, that invite is still out there.
Come on, Jeremy. This isn't that far for you.
It's not far at all, and he has a very important subject to talk about, and I won't give it away. I'll tell you about it afterwards.
Okay.
But anyway, I have reached out to Jeremy. Let's see if we can pull him in. But it'd be fun.
Great.
It'd be fun.
We got him on our
podcast.
Yeah.
We have you.
Oh, I'm here.
Yes, you are. You are. Yes, we do. We have Jed Kornbluh, and he is the executive. Are you executive director?
I'm the executive director
of CCAP, which I talk about almost weekly here on the show because I think it is the most outstanding program in the country, as does USA Cycling. They feel it's a very strong program, too. And you put kids on bikes. I mean, I bow to the organization. It's just a great, great organization because this is the future.
We agree. And, you know, I'm coming up to, it'll be, I'll turn over a full year in June. And we've made some small programming changes that we like to see as little improvements along the way. I'm not trying to make too many big changes because the program's running really well.
Right.
We're likely going to have a high number of mountain bike teams and riders come back this year. We've got a couple of new teams that we've brought on board. So we're rolling into our mountain bike season in the next couple of weeks.
Great.
The first race we have on the schedule is April 5th at Hop Brook. And our season has five races in total for the Cliff Dirt Cup. And that rolls all the way till June 7th. And those races are not just youth-oriented races. We have a youth program in the morning, and then adults and masters and first-timers can come out and try mountain biking, try their hand at racing if they like.
Really?
And get to experience the full festival atmosphere that we try to bring out to the Cliff Dirt Cup.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Nice. That's great. So it's not just for kids.
Not just for kids. You know, our mission is for kids and their families.
Right.
And we're really trying to focus on the family part of that this year, trying to get more parents out riding, trying to do more clinics in conjunction with some other companies like CCNS and the Connecticut Women's Racing Initiative, just trying to bring more people into the sport. Mountain biking is really growing all around the country with other programs that are larger than us, like NICA or our northern friends up in NESCA, the New England High School Cycling Association.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain biking's got that very easy entry where
we don't have
the worry about cars on the road. We don't have to worry about getting lost. You know, you're in the woods, and it's something that every kid can do. Most kids have a mountain bike in the garage or in the shed, and they can roll that out and ride any trail. It's the entry is just much easier for mountain biking.
It's kind of like cross. Cross is a similar easy entry, although the bike is a little bit different, but yeah.
Yeah, with cyclocross and road cycling, those are my primary loves in cycling. They have they've got highly specialized equipment that there's a bit of a learning curve there. But most people can sort of wrap their head around what mountain biking is.
Sure.
Often I have to do a quick breath before I have to explain cyclocross because I'm not sure if they're going to get it or not. The common terminology is, well, it's like a steeplechase. You've seen a steeplechase, right? But add a bike to that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's good. And you know, I was talking to JD about this when we were at the bike swap. He was right next to me. And I said he said something about, you know, cross numbers being down this past year. And, you know, this is kind of a sign of the times. He said cross has kind of had its day and it's starting to dwindle down. And I said, well, my numbers were still pretty good. And he just looked at me and said, yeah, he said, but he said, you have one thing that no one else has. And
right.
I said, what's that? He said, you're Mansfield Hollow. And I went, so what does that mean? He goes, oh, he said, you're a classic. He said, your numbers will always be good.
You're in that same rarefied air that Northampton is in.
Yes.
You've been around long enough that people just put Mansfield Hollow on the calendar. It's a not-miss race.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We'd love to get there with Newtown. We're a handful of years in. man, there's just something so special about Mansfield Hollow. It's an old-school course. It's the hardest course, I think, all season.
It is the hardest.
Yeah. I love what you guys put together, especially that first section along the levee.
Oh, you mean this past year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's an old piece. I have to credit that little piece, that off-camber thing, to Justin Manville. And I know Justin's listening because he listens to all the shows because I get comments from him a lot. But anyway, Justin was the first guy to put in the long off-camber across that embankment, and I loved it. You know, I looked at it first and went, oh, man, people are going to really complain about this. And then I rode it. I got on my bike and you know, he said, you can do it. And I rode across this thing and I went, oh, that's not so bad.
So which line did you take, the high line or the low line?
Low line, always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mistakes are being made on the high line.
And the high line is okay if you're new at it, because here's the deal on the high line. So if you're taking the high line on off camber, if you make a mistake, because you're eventually going to make a mistake, you're going to clip a pedal eventually.
Right.
And the big mistake that people make on off camber when they clip a pedal is they stop pedaling. The minute you stop pedaling, you go down. So you're done.
Right.
The first thing you should do if you clip your pedal is just keep pedaling, and your bike is going to skip and hop, and it's going to drop down a little bit. So you took the high line, now you're more on the middle line, and then maybe you're on the low line. But eventually, you know, you've got some room for error if you're first starting out. But once you get it, the low line's faster.
Oh, yeah.
It's always faster.
And it was nice and buffed out, a little rutted toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to that race again this year.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
There might be, I'm assuming there's going to be a little shuffle on the calendar as some of the UCI races move back into September.
Yep. There's definitely that. But our race is dead on for second Saturday in October, as
great.
Always.
Great.
So there's nothing interfering with it at this time. Everything's good. So I just got to get it up and online right now so that nobody else steps on it.
Yeah, better grab that date.
Somebody tried to step on it last year up in Massachusetts, and I don't think they were very successful. Mm. I think they definitely lost some riders. I know that there were people, because I know a number of people that it was very close to their house, and I said, why are you here? You know, and they just looked at me and laughed and said, because it's Mansfield. And I said, I have a race 20 minutes from my house, but, you know, I'm not going to that.
Yeah.
I'm going here.
Well, that's a testament to the race and to you. And
Yeah.
And to the community, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good, fun effort, and huge shout out to Dave Geisert on this one, because Dave was like, because of my situation, which was not really good, Dave was, he was unbelievable. He was truly unbelievable, and I couldn't have done it without him.
I rode with Dave a couple of weeks ago. He came down to West Hartford to do a ride that we did out of one of the CCAP sponsors, Jay Renee. Opened a new cafe.
Oh, okay. And yeah, so, I heard about that.
Yeah, so we had a little launch ride, and I was so tickled to see Dave Geisert show up.
Yeah,
because he's such a fixture, and
he is.
He's one of the old patrons of the Connecticut Peloton.
Dave and I have many, many, many thousands of miles together. We spent a lot of time riding our bikes together, and Dave, you know, he rode out of my shop for a long time. We raced together for a long time, and I shouldn't say race together. I couldn't stay with the guy if I had to, but he was like the most outstanding sprinter in New England for many, many years. It was always him and between him and Paul Curley at the end, and as long as you know. No one hooked anyone else. I won't go any deeper in that. I'll tell you that after the show's off, too. But then everything was good. I did have to almost break up a fight once. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it got a little heated after the race.
Well, if Dave, if you're listening, I know we've talked about this. I would love to have him come on board as a CCAP coach and get
that'd
team
be
going
nice.
In this area. Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, we've got some interest out here out in the Storrs area. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for a road team.
Huh.
So all we need
for a road team,
yeah, we just need some. Ooh. One of our biggest limiters in growth at CCAP is volunteer coaches.
No kidding.
If we had more volunteer coaches come on board, we could grow this program a bit more and add some more regional teams because we certainly have the interest on the mountain bike side, the road side, and the cyclocross side.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
we should talk. Anyway, yeah. We'll talk.
We'll talk.
What else is going on? I mean, you've got, I have here programming plans and breakaway event listed here on my items to talk about today.
Well, I mentioned that we have our mountain bike season, is basically filling up. Our teams, are registering, our riders are registering. We've got a new team down in Fairfield County out of TT Endurance. We have a couple of new school teams joining, including the South Kent School, and we're trying to get some more of the Ivy League prep schools involved throughout the year. So that's something we're hopefully going to be talking about this fall. But we expect to have a lot of growth on both the regional and the school side with regard to ridership this year. I'm hoping we're going to have some more kids who are going to dip their toe in the racing waters at the start of the season with Hopbrook. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, we have our mountain bike season has not had as much race participation as our road and cyclocross seasons because a lot of kids get into mountain biking because they want to go out and group ride with their friends. And that's fine. We're okay if you want to race or if you don't want to race. We support it either way. But I would love to give a little elbow wiggle to those kids that want to come in and give it a try.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but we do have a lot of teams that are filling up. Our largest team is in West Hartford, the West Hartford Central Wheelers, and they're at about 35 kids this year in their third year as a team, which is just phenomenal when we average about 12 riders per team.
So that's the E-Race crowd, right?
It started out as an offshoot of E-Race.
Okay.
And they formed as the Central Wheelers, but the team makeup is now only about one-third of the E-Race team. Which is interesting. They've grown sort of on their own and on their own merit. And I have to give a lot of credit to the head coach, Eric Price Glynn, for making that program incredibly accessible and welcoming and really just a lot of fun. I've hopped in on a couple of their practices, or at least I did last year, and those kids are just so happy to be out in the West Hartford Reservoir riding.
Really?
It's great.
How nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. So... And you're looking for somebody out here. You're looking out in this area.
I would love to have someone out here. You know, we've got
I'm sure we could come up with somebody out here.
If you look at population density throughout the state, that's where our regional teams are really thriving. It's simple statistics.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
But an area like this, you know, we host our mountain bike camp at UConn every year.
Do you really?
We do, yeah. I didn't know that. You didn't know that?
No.
Well, you know, we should get the kids in here for a show.
I want the kids in here for
a show.
I've talked about that. Laura Mullaly was here with her son
with Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were in for a show and we did a show with them. And I talked to Kevin afterwards and I said, what about getting a couple of your friends and coming in, not with your mom, just the kids, you know, just you guys and doing a show. What do you think about that? And he's like, oh, that'd be fun. That'd be really fun. I want to do like a kid's show.
We're going to put that one on the calendar, especially once school gets out. We can
Let's
come
figure
in
it
on
out.
Wednesday. Yeah, sure.
It's a lot easier
when the kids are out of school.
Yeah, because it'll just be a blast to have them in here and talking about bike racing and bicycles. And
once they get comfortable.
If I had had that when I was a kid, you know, the reason I ended up where I am in my world of bicycles is because it's just how we got around when we were kids.
Right.
You know, and I just always loved it. I was fascinated by it. It wasn't mom minivan back in my day. It was, you know, if you want to go see your friends and they live 4 miles across town, you rode your bike there.
Right.
And that's basically it. But, you know, it stuck with me because I rode my bike and went, wow, this is really fun. And, you know, it's just been that way ever since. And then, of course, I grew up on a farm, so we used to ride in the woods on all the paths through the woods. And so it's just, you know, just riding your bike was just, it's something you did when you were a kid.
It's something we did growing up. I had my father actually paid a junior who, thinking back, was only a few years older than me. I think he paid him $10 a week to take me out on training rides after school.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was probably 10 or 11. And this kid and I would just go out, and I grew up in farm country in New Jersey, and we would just go out and ride. But we, you know, we would have our occasional run-in with drivers. But my fear is that a lot of kids are being held home and are being driven around because of the fear of what's going on with regard to distracted drivers. And it's an evergreen
legitimate
topic for us.
It's legitimate. Yeah, I understand. You know, my answer to that out here is the answer that I've had forever, and Fran will verify this one, but roads with names, not numbers. You know, stay off the numbered roads, because the numbered roads are, that's where most of the distraction is, because they're straighter, they're faster. They often have a big shoulder, which gives you more room for error. But the problem is that the cyclist is in that shoulder, and that if error occurs, there could be a major problem, and the speed is much greater. You get out on the back roads, and I have my whole team working for me. There's Mr. Oak and Mrs. Maple, and let's not forget Cousin Stonewall, you know. But they're all there, and if you get distracted, you will crash your motorized vehicle, and you will do a lot of damage to it. You have to pay attention.
I love that. Roads with names, not numbers.
Yes.
I'm stealing.
That's the book. When I write the book, the book. Oh, we laugh about this, right?
I think Fran's ignoring you.
She is ignoring me for sure. Try to get a guy with ADHD to write a book. That's a challenge in itself. But that's the name. It's Roads with Names, not Numbers.
Oh, that's great.
It's sort of my life too. I'm kind of a Roads with Names, not Numbers kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I sense that.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's what it is. But, roads with names, not numbers. Mm. That's how you stay alive. And I will say it now, and I always hesitate when I say this because I've said it way too many times, and I should be cautious about it, but I have never, I repeat, never been hit by a car.
Oh.
And I've ridden a lot of miles. And I know a lot of people who, you know, have been hit, and some badly.
Sure.
Yeah, but
it is a part of the sport. I think it's, you know, you can get hit by a bus stepping out from the sidewalk.
Sure, you can.
A few weeks ago, I was walking to lunch in Middletown near my office, and nearly got run over by a tractor trailer who basically jumped the curb. So these things happen, and I think if you look at the statistics, getting hit by a car is still pretty low reality.
It is.
But it's there, and we need to be vigilant. And like you said, we need to ride in areas where we're not going to increase that statistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plant a tree, man.
Yeah.
Trees are great.
I do dig riding in the woods, though. I've gotten more into mountain biking now than ever.
Really?
I took a big break from it for years. And when we moved back to Connecticut a few years ago, I started riding in the woods a lot more. And while, you know, road is definitely my first love, I love the speed, I love the feeling, I love the fluidity of riding a road bike, just that constant effort.
Oh, I know.
But riding in the woods sort of unlocks something for me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, something, I don't know, it's maybe it sounds silly, but maybe it's something spiritual. I connect when I'm out in the woods. I can sort of just let go. I have nothing on my handlebars. Like, no, I don't bring my Garmin with me or my Wahoo or whatever. I just sort of ride.
When's your birthday?
December 23rd.
Oh, you're not a Taurus. Okay.
No, my mother is, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taurus, we tend to like the earth and the woods. And, you know, I'm a kind of stay-at-home, stay-in-the-woods kind of guy. So Fran will tell you. But you know, I get that. I told you earlier, I grew up on a farm. We had a 140-acre farm. And, you know, I grew up riding on my grandfather's farm and rode all over through the woods. Wherever the cows went, I went. You know, it was just kind of a way of life. That was it. So,
well, that's how my father got into the sport. He was it a dairy farm?
It was.
Yeah. My dad grew up in a dairy farm in South Jersey, and actually used his bar mitzvah money to buy his first bike.
That's great.
Which ended up getting stolen when he rode it to the park and ditched it in the woods to go swimming.
Oh.
I think that's a story. Yeah, maybe my mom will text me.
It's
she's
a story.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
But what
a bummer.
But yeah, you know, there's something about that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing. And the beauty of it was, when I did my first cyclocross race, which my, you know, category two crazy people dragged me into and said, "Oh, Ron, you have to do this." And it's like, "Why do I have to do this?" They said, "Oh, you have to do this. This will be good for you. This will be good for you." And of course, we took old 10-speed bicycles back in the day and we converted them over and put some little knobby tubulars on them. And, you know, that's what we had. Because
right.
That's what there was.
28s or something?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, whatever you could find, really. It was really
right.
Whatever you could find. And so I went out and I did my first race. And I'm looking around and it's like, it's the who's who of New England Road that's there. And I'm looking and I'm going, I am going to get my butt kicked so bad by all these guys. And I didn't. I actually kicked a bunch of their butts.
Wow.
And these guys were coming up to me afterwards and go, "Who are you? Where'd you come from? Who are you?" And I went, "I'm Ron. I'm Russell's roommate, you know, my buddy who I went there with." And they went, "How'd you learn how to ride a bike like that?" And I went, "I grew up in the woods." You know, this is fun. For me,
yeah.
This is fun. And this one guy came up to me and said, "I have never seen anyone ride over the things that you rode over." He said, "I've just never seen that before. How do you do that?"
That's high praise.
And I went, "I just do it. It's there. It's in my way. I got to get there from A to B, and I just do it."
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of a long and lanky kind of guy, so, you know, getting off the bike and jumping over things is super easy for me, and I'm light, so it's easy for me there, too. But, I was a natural at cross. When I first started racing cross, it was a blast.
Hmm.
And that was back in the days of Tommy Stevens and Paul Curley, and the McCormick brothers were just children then. They hadn't even come to the light at that point.
Well, it's great that that Tom and Paul are still racing, still at it.
They're still at it.
Yeah.
They're still at it, yeah.
I talked to Tom, I think it was in Northampton.
Yep.
Back in November.
Yeah, yeah. Tom's great.
Yeah,
he's great. He's been at it for a very, very long time. Yeah,
yeah. He was the guy for quite a while, and the course builder.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah. He's. I remember going to Providence one year and going to the race over in Providence, and I from a very long distance I see this hand waving and a big "Run!" and he's yelling out, and I looked and I went, "Oh, it's Tom." And I said, "No, right there," you know. So I worked my way over, and he's just bursting with excitement. He's just bubbling with excitement. And I said, "Hey, Tom," I said, "how you doing?" He goes, "Have you seen the course yet?" And I said, "I just got here." And he said, "Let me walk you around." And so he walks me around the course and, you know, he's like pointing out this and pointing out that. I said, "Tom, it's like kind of right on the edge of the rule book right here, isn't it?" And he goes, "We can do this, you know, remember?" And so we're like laughing about it and going around and just checking it all out. And it was just, you know, he sees courses. He's one of those guys who goes to an area and he looks at it and goes, "Yeah, I can put a race on here."
Sure.
And, you know, that's how Hartford started. Hartford started with me was a, you know, I was told, "Hey, we got this, you know, date and this opening and we want to put this race on." And I showed up on my cross bike and I looked at Hartford and I went, "I can't put a race on here. There's nothing here." And then I got creative and, you know, you start using certain things and finding little off cambers and Tommy's words were when he first came to do cross, I did a double off camber all the way across the dike, turn, go down and then go across it again.
Ugh.
It was great. It was great. It was just great. And, you know, people, I did a clinic out there the day before and people said, "We can't ride that." I said, "Yes, you can." I said, "Watch." And I went out and I rode it. And I said, you got to run high and then drop low. And you're going to, because you got to have some room on the swing. But you had to do a 180 degree turn on off camber. It's really interesting because at one point you're looking like straight down.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you got to just shut the brain off and do it. And so Tom said he went out and rode the course and he got to that point on the course. And he told me this after the race and he was with a couple of other guys and he let out the F word and then my name afterwards. and then came to tell me about it afterwards.
Right.
He
yeah.
said, I just have to tell you. I said, Tom, it's the biggest compliment I've ever been paid. And he said, I got it. After the next lap, he said, the next time I went around, he goes, I figured it out. But he said, let me tell you, he said, that was brilliant. He said, that was really, really difficult.
Well, let's hope we can get someone to promote a course there sometime in the future. I know Richard was trying this year, and it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great park. Well, you know, we put on USAC Nationals there in 2017 to huge
right.
success. And
oh, yeah.
If you drive by and look closely, you'll still see that there's a groove in the a groove worn in from that rainy day when the Masters were racing and they were sliding down.
God.
Oh, it's still there.
I have the video right yeah. here. I still have it. Yeah, I took the video that went viral
oh,
and had
okay.
all the, you know, many thousands of hits or whatever it
oh,
was.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw, you know, it was, they were getting ready to, the gun was getting ready to go off and the skies opened.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting at the start-finish line, and I turned and I ran as fast as I could. I ran right out there because I knew exactly yeah. what was going to happen, and it was great. Adam Meyerson made it through. One or two other guys made it through, and then everybody else slid down the hill.
Oh, what a disaster.
Well, it was,
for
it
the
was,
riders, not
it was
for the course.
It was mud on top yeah. of permafrost.
Oh, yeah.
It was perfect.
But then we had a couple of other weather systems move in. We had snow. We had ice.
Every condition you could possibly imagine. I was part of the crew that was working on the course day after day after day. And Tom and I were both there working it. And I remember being out, getting ready to go to, I got invited to the thing over at the Wadsworth Athenaeum. There was a special, you know, meet the important people.
Right.
And they put me on the list and said, you need to be there. So I'm out working on the course just before I'm supposed to be there. And it must not have been any more than, like, I don't know, 15 degrees out or something. It was really cold
was
out.
Brutal, yeah.
And I was knocking down ruts with sledgehammers and pouring sweat because I'm, you know, because we were working so hard to
do it. Sure.
But that's how the course just became so tricky and so weird in so many ways. Every day was different. Mm. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was epic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that course is just, there's nothing else like it.
No.
Yeah.
No. I'd love to see it come back. We're going to have to talk to the MDC about the dike, though. They don't like us on the dike.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Riverfront Recapture is not as well funded as they once were. So
I know that. I actually talked to them recently. Yeah. They're like a little freaked out. But
yeah, it's an uphill battle. But
yeah. Yeah,
we'll eventually get a race back in the Hartford area. Whether it's a crit, I've been trying very hard to try and get something happening in Hartford or West Hartford, but I'm not sure this is going to be the year for that.
Well, the mayor in Hartford would love to see it
because
he was blown away by what Nationals did. He was really like I had a couple of really nice conversations with him. And, Luke was big. He was big on the race. He thought it was really cool. The whole cycling community really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It was a good feel, a good vibe. Brought a lot to the city, so.
All it takes is a little bit of funding.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's a lot of funding, but that's all right. We won't get into that. Bikes, Hartford. We used to have the downtown Criterium in Bushnell Park years ago.
I raced the Travelers
Criterium.
Yeah, it was a great race.
It was a great race. It was put on by Travelers Insurance,
right.
And they were the major funder on it. And it was a national. I mean, it was a big deal. It was part of that whole weekend. There was Fitchburg that weekend. There was Middletown that weekend. There was Hartford. They were all kind of bundled in, and it was great because you got all these people from all over the country to show up.
Man, road racing is in a weird place right now. We're actually projecting some growth among our juniors on the roadside. I've got a bunch of new interested teams. We've got interested riders. A lot of our teams have been growing year after year from the cyclocross side, and those riders are now getting more interested in road. So I'm actually hoping we see a lift, but we don't have the number of races we once did. If you take a look at the calendar, most of the racing starts now. You know, we had the Frozen Four started on the first weekend.
I saw that. Yeah, right.
And that's been very successful so far. Right. I got to give a lot of credit to Matt Stewart and the Greater Hartford Cycling Club for making that race a reality.
And that's the crit that's in Plainfield.
That's right.
Plainville
Office Park. Right.
Right.
Right at the edge of the bike path. So if you're interested in coming out to watch some bike racing, there's going to be a race this Sunday, including a juniors clinic at 7:30 that I'll be leading. And then you can, if you're new to bike racing, jump into the novice race at 8 o'clock. It's novice now, not Cat 5. Novice.
Really?
Really.
Not Cat 5.
We'll move on to that one next. Yeah.
Okay.
USA Cycling changed a few things this year.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm curious to get your opinion on that. Mm-hmm. And then there's a Masters 50+, a women's race, and then a Cat 3-4 and a 1-2-3, so an A and a B race. And racing is usually done by, I think, about 1:30. Mm-hmm. So it's just a great way to start the season. We've got racing between Connecticut, New York, and Massachusetts all the way until early July, and then it just drops off.
It disappears.
It disappears.
It does.
And I helped promote a race last summer at the end of July in Plainville, the El Fuego, and attendance was pretty good. But now that I'm busy with CCAP, I don't want to take on the role of being a race promoter, race promoter. And Matt Stewart was. Probably did a lot more on that race than I did at the time, considering what I was working on. But we need more promoters to step up and take the risk. And
it's a bigger risk on the road. You know, I mean that's why I'm so married to the whole cyclocross idea, because I don't need law enforcement, which is a big amount of money, especially if you're, I would love to see a road race. We could put a road race on out here that would just blow people away. Bring them down through Bigelow Hollow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You know Bigelow Hollow?
I do.
That's a hill. That's a hill. And I'm talking about if I spin out from the east side going west and then just go into the drops and drop, I can go well over 50 miles an hour. Mm. Just spinning it out at the top and just tucking and letting it go. That is like the most unbelievable descent out here.
That's awesome.
And it's straight as a pancake. So there's no confusion on it. There's no risk as far as, oh gosh, and then there's this hard left and this hard right, which I'll show you when I take you
for
a ride out
here.
Oh,
yeah, on the Amber ride.
I have a great ride.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That. Well, that's the I was out at South Kent School on Monday morning doing some riding. We're opening a team out there. As I mentioned earlier.
Nice section
of
the state.
Oh, it's great. And one of my goals is to try and get a real road race out there, which I think we can do. If we can get the local the local authorities and the police interested in letting us have a Saturday or a Sunday where we have a rolling enclosure, there's just endless gravel roads and endless climbs out that way.
They used to do one years ago from Mohawk Mountain.
Really?
Yeah, which is right out there.
Right in Cornwall.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right there. And it was perfect because it was a facility. You had enough places for parking. It was really good. And then way back in the day, we talk about our friend Dave Geisert. Dave put on a training race out here in Eastford. And it was all on primarily back roads. It was one state road, but there's no cars on it because you're in eastern Connecticut.
Right.
And but it was just only for a short section that you were on that. And then you went over, a pretty substantial climb with an orchard at the top of the climb, Buell's Orchards. A little shout out to the Buells. And they got so excited about it, they were giving away bags of apples for preems if you're the first one over the climb.
I love it.
So it was great. It was great. It was like a 5-mile enclosed course, mostly back roads. Just really cool place. Really, really cool place. So we did have a field limit because of the narrow roads.
Right.
But it was still, it's just a great place to learn how to race a bike on the road.
Sure.
It's great. So
I feel like we can get there. We can marry the new love of gravel and the traditional love of road racing and sort of do a combination. Maybe have a gravel ride on one day and the road race on day two. We need some community buy-in for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's all sorts of gravel out here too.
Oh yeah,
there's lots of gravel. So anyway, I could show you all sorts of cool stuff. But yeah, northeastern Connecticut is, it is truly Connecticut's quiet corner. Everybody says that. We all say, shh, don't tell anyone. But if you like to ride a bicycle, this is the place to do it in the state of Connecticut, because it's endless. This is really wonderful out here.
I'll be out here to ride definitely on March 19th. There's a gravel event. Well, it's at the Thompson Speedway, at least, and it's coming out this way. It's riding west, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So then the Natchog Epic.
The Natchog Epic?
Natchog Epic.
That's what they call it?
That's what they call it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah,
that's
like new
interesting.
Events.
Yeah.
Sounds like a race for chuckleheads.
Bring in some chuckleheads.
What is a chucklehead?
This is a story. We were out riding our bikes one day, and we happened upon three guys on the side of the road, and they were all looking at this map, and they were trying to figure out what the heck they were going on. I looked over, and one of them looks at me and goes, "Hi, Ron." And I looked, and I realized it was someone who worked at Benidorm Bikes in Canton. And I said, "You guys lost? You need some help?" And they went, "Yeah, what are you doing out here?" So I live here. This is where I live. And what are you guys doing? And they were doing the what's-his-name's ride. Oh gosh!
The detour,
yeah, which was put on by name.
Todd.
No. That's a different person that we met at a different time on that ride.
Detour.
But anyway,
I remember the name of the ride. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm trying to think. And he grew up in Glastonbury, and he and his dad both ride bikes. And I just can't think of his name right now. And it's just a very minimalist ride because you had a piece of paper. And you went out and did this thing. It still happens. The detour still happens in the spring. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like 120 miles. And there's a lot of dirt on it, or as much dirt as you can find.
Right.
And these guys had completely missed the turn to get onto the rail trail, which at that time was not developed, which is another story. Before the airline trail was developed, it was a lot of fun. It was just really difficult, but it was a lot of fun. I remember being almost hub deep in mud and just like really like crazy stuff.
Wow!
But that's all fixed now, and it's a very nice place to ride now too. But anyway, So anyway, we run into these guys, and this one guy said to me something about the guys he was with. You know, I said, "Look, all you have to do is go back up here, do this. You have to climb all the way back up that hill. But if you don't want to do that, just follow me. I'll bring you down and I'll get you back where you're supposed to be." And he made some sort of comment about being with a couple of chuckleheads. But
so now that's
they rode away from you.
Yeah,
he said, "Let me go ahead and catch those two chuckleheads before I lose them."
Yeah, right.
They didn't want to wait to listen to you.
Right. Right, because they had figured it all out themselves, you know, but they didn't know where they were.
They were chuckleheads.
They were chuckleheads.
Maybe they're still out there.
Who knows?
Why he said chuckleheads and not knuckleheads?
I don't know, but it was just a funny thing.
It's very funny.
That's a new one, chucklehead. Yeah.
Chucklehead.
Yes. Heard that.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It works.
Chucklehead. So, someone who insists on going in whatever direction they think they should be going, even when someone else clearly knows the right way to go.
Right. 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 So anyway, we'll back up here. Breakaway event. What's going on?
May 3rd.
Okay.
Sunday, May 3rd. So we have our annual breakaway benefit in the springtime, and this is our big fundraiser of the year.
Okay.
Last 2 years, we've been at Villa Luisa in Bolton, not too far from here.
Okay.
So we would split the road riding between, coming out this way, and then mountain biking, we'd go down to Case, just down the road.
Oh, sure.
But we made the decision to move it out to Whitegate Farm in East Lyme this year, which is a beautiful spot right on the shoreline, because we are able to do a gravel ride right from the farm.
So no kidding.
It's sort of a lollipop, the way the route works. It's an out and back with a 6 mile loop of single track at the very end, which is optional. So if you're on a cross bike or a gravel bike, you can just do the out and back, or you can do it a couple of times. It's up to you. We also have a 20, 40, and 62 mile road option, all with stocked and staffed aid stations.
Nice.
And all the courses are marked. And we've got barbecue catering from Backyard Barbecue based out of New London. They're bringing their big food truck rig out, and we'll have a full spread, and hopefully if things work out, a bluegrass band is going to be playing there for the day.
Oh, even better.
Yeah,
good fun.
We're digging into the farm, the farm vibe.
Yeah, it's like farm to fork fondo thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
kind of like my buddy Tyler does.
It's a good model, and I'd like to see if we can make it happen in Connecticut. The ride has been successful in years past. It is a fundraiser, so there is a fundraising requirement. Depending on the mileage that you do, the bigger the ride, the bigger the fundraising minimum.
Sure.
But we've got some tools there for fundraising, so
that's cool. Yeah. And how do people find out about it?
they can go to ctbikes.org, and they'll have a splash page that pops up, and they can just follow that link, or they can go to bikereg.com and search breakaway benefit.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. How cool. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, the weather will be reasonable at that point, too. You know, it is April, May. You know, you never know here.
We'll see.
It's New England.
There's a lot of external threats going on in the region right now. I know on the earlier show, you were talking about the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking a hard look at our programming and doing our best to follow the State Department of Public Health. To make sure that we're in line with their regulations. It's tough because what we do is an outdoor activity.
I know.
You know, we're riding it at you know low and high speeds, and you know it's not like we're clustering in a boardroom.
Exactly.
But I still want to make sure that our kids and families and coaches and volunteers are as safe as they can be.
Sure. Sure. I really think the idea of getting outside, I think, is really the key to this whole coronavirus problem. Just stop being cooped up. Open your windows. Open your doors. Get out. You know,
it's funny.
And the confinement.
Yeah, the confinement is definitely not good. I've been listening to radio reports of people that are just sort of coming out of that confinement in China, and how you know the sun is very bright, and they're not used to being outside, and they've lost a lot of fitness.
Yeah.
I have friends in China who are cooped up in their houses. You know, I used to be in the cycling industry on the apparel side.
Sure.
And so I dealt with a lot of factories, and I was texting some friends from Italy this morning who are now in the same boat that China was in 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, yes, you can ride outside. But they're asking to limit your activity and your clusters and groups. So there are people who are riding, who are out there riding on their own, but group riding is kind of it's not strictly forbidden, but it's discouraged right now.
Well, one of the problems is if something happens to you, if you go down, you're going to need emergency care, and that's an unnecessary load on the system.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was reading. I have the website up from what is it, the one that said that you're not supposed to ride outside. And I guess it's not as severe as that, but they're discouraging it for that's one of the reasons why. Yes, if you're in a group, you could pass it to each other, but more so that if you have a crash and you have to be transported, you're going to be a burden on the already stressed healthcare system.
Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
I wouldn't have seen it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's I guess it makes sense. I guess it makes sense. So I mean we're eating up time here.
Oh.
We're out of time. So the Frozen Four is still going on.
Frozen Four is going on. There's
okay.
There are two more races left,
and that is on Sunday.
That is on Sunday, and this Sunday is each week a different group has been sponsoring the clinic, the new riders clinic at 7:30, and this is our week. This is the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program's week to lead the clinic. So I'll be there at 7 a.m. to try and gather everybody, and we're just going to do a quick 30 minutes on the course. We'll talk about pace lining and maybe some race tactics that you can use in your Cat 5 race coming up if you're a new rider. Yeah, just trying to get more people interested.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's great.
And so, then the breakaway benefit's May 3rd.
And the breakaway benefit is May 3rd. That's great. All right, so you got some great stuff coming up. My guest today has been Jed Kornbluh, from the executive director of CCAP, and it just always a wealth of information, always a pleasure to have here.
Likewise.
And you'll come back again, I'm sure.
Totally,
I'm sure,
because
this is just too much fun. So anyway, we'll have you back. Congratulations on what that program is and what it's doing. And I can't say enough good things about the whole program. And just seeing kids on bikes just brings this huge smile on my face. I had between 80 and 90 kids show up to the cyclocross race this year. And it just blows me away when I see that. And they all want to be there.
Oh yeah.
You know, they just want to be there. They just can't wait to go. And it's just so cool to see that level of excitement. I look at it and go, gosh, why wasn't this around when I was a kid? It was been such a nice thing. But you know, it's what it is, and it's happening now, and it's a great thing. If you want to get involved with this, you can go to your website, which
ctbikes.org, ConnecticutBikes.org.
Okay, very good. You guys are based out of Middletown, Connecticut, but it is statewide because there's people all over the state that are involved with you guys. And then you have a Facebook page also, and I've spotted that too. So I'm going to go on to just a little short calendar section here. Remember, coming up in May, we have National Bike Month. bike to school day, bike to work day, bike to work week is usually the third week in the month of May. So if you're thinking about this is the year that you're going to make the transition and you're going to start saying goodbye to that anchor that you drive around in, and you want to start riding your bike to work and maybe just kicking back some miles, you know, kicking back a little bit and using a bicycle for what it's been intended for, not just for recreation, but also for utility work and transportation. May is National Bike Month, and we'll talk more about that as we get into the show. On the July 26th, also on my calendar, we have the 9th annual Thread City Cyclers Century Ride. It's been going on for some time now. Come explore the roads that Pedal and Run and Fran ride on. And then also Saturday, August 15th, 2020, we have the Steeplechase Bike Tour, which has been going on now for 28 or 29 years. So this is a big deal. It's been going on for a really long time. Lots of great rides, and it's a really good fundraiser for some local charities around here. So it's a good thing. So that's what's on my calendar right now. I know there's a lot more coming up. But anyway, the views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Pedalin' Ron. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this live or on podcast, you can't really, you can only do it with podcasts. You can always reach me, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, on iTunes, or now on Spotify. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.